The first scripture reading is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1 to 9. Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes and commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, and all that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may be multiplied greatly. As the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Now let's have a moment of silence for a few minutes, and then Adela will lead us into congregational prayer.
Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your gift of eternal life through the sacrifice of our risen Lord. You have called us to follow his way and to care for others, not only with words of comfort, but with acts of love. Seeking to be true friends of all, we offer our prayers on behalf of our church and the world. Lord, we are shattered at the senseless deaths caused by gun violence in the U.S. Please comfort the victims and their families. Heal their hearts with your love and mend their brokenness. Through these tragedies, transform our hearts from violence to seek peaceful ways of resolving differences. Help us to seek out to the lonely and the underprivileged. We also help for those who are in power to create the means to protect all in the society, especially those most vulnerable. We bring all of them to you, Lord. Father God, thank you for the elected leaders and MPP in Ontario. Please grant them the ability to serve with wisdom, courage, and integrity as they govern our province. Please surround them with godly people who will provide good counsel and encouragement as they develop policy and direction according to your wills. Father God, today Pastor Roland will deliver your message. Please anoint his lips and make him be your mouthpiece. Grant us discerning spirit and obedient heart to walk in your word. We also pray for the upcoming retreat in July, the VBS in August, and the Sunday youth worship. Lord, please provide sufficient resources and manpower. We also ask for the blessing bestowed upon our leaders. Grant them wisdom, knowledge, flexibility, courage, and power as they are preparing all this upcoming ministry. Please bless the works of their hands and also commit the results entirely to you. We also pray for our brothers and sisters who participate in these services. Please help them to experience your love, your grace. May their encounter with you be unique and precious. And we also pray for all our brothers and sisters who will baptize on June 26. We ask you for your goodness and blessing to be poured out on them. Renew their hearts, guide their steps, and give them a hope and a vision for the future. Encircle them with your promises and fill their hearts with joy. May this day be one day they cherish and remember forever. And we also ask, Lord, for the abundance of your blessing upon Megan and Jeremy in their new life together this coming Saturday. May their marriage be life-giving and lifelong, enriched by your presence and strengthened by your grace. May they bring comfort and confidence to each other in faithfulness and trust. Lord, we commit them to you. We also pray for the high school students as they are preparing and taking the final exam this month. May they have good rest and thorough preparation for the exams. Give them good results. And Lord, as a whole church, help us to be mindful for the needs of those who suffer in body, mind, or soul. Please heal them and comfort them. Give them courage and hope to persevere. And we also pray for those who need employment. Please direct their steps and provide and meet all their needs. Father God, and as we offer our tithes and offering to you, and this is an act of worship and of thanksgiving, please bless them to further your kingdom. And we pray all this in the powerful name of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen.
The second scripture reading comes from 2 Timothy 2, 1 to 7. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything.
Good morning, church. How are you? Finally, we're in June. I've been looking forward to this summer month for such a long time. And it has been over 2 years, that is, without a plastic shield right in front of me, that I can see you face to face more clearly. And there's no refraction on the sun, because the AV has been complaining so bad that we are now set up a blind during the afternoon worships. Today's message, as you just heard, it's called Strive to Equip Disciplers. As I type this PowerPoint, Disciplers, it gave me that little red scribble at the bottom because the dictionary doesn't have that word discipulus, but instead disciples. So what are disciplers? Disciplers is the person who make other as a disciple. 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 1 to 7, is going to be talking later on. But now I want to bring your attention to one of my favorite sports, 4 times 100 meters relay in a Summer Olympic game. Anyone watch that game? I don't see a lot of hands. Some. The most exciting competition, I would say, is that a lot of the nations would send 4 of the best runners to compete this event. I'm not one of them, and never been one of them, as in my high school times, because I'm a slow runner. I was a soccer goalie, basically. I don't run as often. But these guys has been trained so hard. Can you imagine when you are the first one who do this? You are on the mark, and your heart was pounding because you were so scared when the gun was shot off. And a lot of people would disqualify because of jumping forward without the actual start. And then the second and the third person would be quite anxious because they need to run without looking backward. They need to hold a hand back and ensure that the teammate will pass the baton to him or her in the right time and the right place. One of the team was disqualified because the third runner receiving the baton were exiting the zone. There's only a certain distance that they need to catch it. The last one seems to be the easiest, right? You may think, because it's just dash to the finish line. And they usually put the best runner to the last leg. The reason why I want to bring this to your attention is because we as Christians, we are continuously passing on the thing, like what the scripture said, especially in verse 2. What we have learned or heard in the presence of many witnesses, we have to entrust some other people who will be able to teach others as well. Now, before I go to verse number 2, I want to talk about verse 1 and 3 first. Paul says over here, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus." And then verse 3, "Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus." You maybe wonder, why Timothy need to be strengthened? It's kind of normal for a mentor or somebody in, like a teacher, to tell you, or a coach to tell you, to strengthen. That sounds normal. But suffering, that's kind of odd. But does Timothy get a choice to choose between not suffer? Why would Paul want Timothy to be suffering as a soldier of Jesus? There could be some hint in the Bible that tells us. Let's take a look at this previous chapter. Paul sets on chapter 1, verse 8, 11, and 12. These are all basically on ESV version. I didn't have time to type it. So Paul says, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God." Verse 11, "Of which I was appointed as a preacher, an apostle, and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that he is able to guard the day until that day has been entrusted to me." Wow, Sharing a gospel is not an easy task. But Paul is not ashamed of doing that. Paul even wanted Timothy not to be discouraged, not to be ashamed, because he knew one person. Well, that person is God. That will guard Paul and Timothy and us until the day that has been entrusted with to me, to us. In summary, by the grace and power of God, Paul is not ashamed to share the gospel, even though he is suffering. Yesterday morning, there were like 15, 20 of us, brothers and sisters, went out to the neighborhood around Woodbine and Elgin Mill area. We go door-to-door knocking. It may sound similar, or it may sound pretty odd to you because you guys are not so used to it. But many first-timers, we have a gift bag, like a loot bag, okay? We have some church flyers, some informations, and a little token of appreciations to welcome them to the community. We knock on the doors. Many of them did not answer. But one of our brother do speak to the cam. You know nowadays we have the Google Nest and the Ring, right? Many of us will be using this. As soon as we touch the button, that thing will either play a little sound or start recording. So I tell my teammates, shh, do not make any comment on this house. There may be people listening. But actually, we found a way to directly speak to that cam. And that person shared that as soon as he speak and say who we are and why are we here for, we hear songs from that little machine. And eventually, that person will open up the door for us. It's amazing to hear something like that. And we also encounter people who are willing to listen to who we are. We introduce them as volunteer at church at Bayview, north of Elgin Mills. And the purpose of meeting you is to show us a genuine relation. We want to build a relationship with you. And then we come back after an hour or so to that council room and we have a debrief. Many of them willing to step out of the comfort zone and share the gospel because the words. They were being touched and encouraged. After COVID, we still wear masks, but we were told when we see those cam, we try to show our face instead. Actually, my lens would turn dark when I go out. It's kind of odd if you see me in a sunglasses and a mask. What that strangers? I'm not going to open up my door. But instead, I took off my mask. Here's something that we can consider to do in our neighborhood. But would you consider suffer? I would not say so. In Toronto, we are so blessed to have freedom of religions, freedom of speech. We can share God's work on us and our own experience to knock on the door. During Christmas time, we will do the same thing to the neighborhood businesses. You're welcome to join us again. So Paul is not ashamed, but Jesus gave us a warning in the gospel. Jesus said, "Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of man, for they will deliver you over the courts and flog you in the synagogues, and you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. We all know John 3:16, right? That we believe in Christ, we will be saved, correct? But this part of the Bible also reminds us, those who endure suffering towards the end will be saved. Now, if you go back to Matthew chapter 7, the Mount on the Sermon, chapter 7, verse about 21 to 23. At those times, people would cry out to the Lord, 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 did I not use by your name? I cast out demons. Did I not use your names to heal people? Do you remember what Jesus said? Jesus tell them, go away. I do not know you, you evil doers. Why? Why would Jesus say such a mean sentence to those people who cried out to the Lord during end times? Because they are false prophets. They were false disciples. They are counterfeit. They are fake. They do not observe the commands of the Lord. We just read during the first scripture reading. Remember, Deuteronomy chapter 6. I gave Pastor Brian the shortened version, but he said, I brought a work, start from the very first verse, which is okay. Remember, love your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your might. Endurance. I want to highlight this word, endurance. It sounds pretty daunting. We will be suffered. Here in Canada, we are not there yet. But as we go on Wednesday night prayer meeting, there are so many countries that are forbidden us to openly talk about Jesus, especially those countries in the Middle East, even in China. So what are we going to do? Leave them alone? Or just simply ignore them? Or maybe let the missionary do it. I can cross my arms and my legs. I can send you money. Is that how we do? Back home in Canada? I challenge each one of you. While we were here, enjoying the freedom, please do something for God. It is not easy. Many people were frightened when they knocked on the door. They said their heart was pounding, like the heart rate was beating up. And I tell them, no, don't worry. Pastor Roland, we're going to show you a few times. We as a leader will train you. We'll make sure that we'll back you up. And I did back them up. I was standing at the back. I told them, do not be afraid. The Lord, the Spirit is with you. It's not the way we communicate. It's not the ability. It's the Spirit that will touch these people, will open up their heart one day. To be honest, when I ask you this question, how many times have you heard the Bible or the gospel before you accepted Jesus? And you don't have to say it loud to me. You can count it. How many times people have shared the gospel? You've been rejecting, saying no, forget it, I don't have time, I'm busy. And then finally you confess. A lot, eh? Yeah. So it's not easy. But not easy doesn't mean we do not do it. We do it for the sake of God. One of the books that I come across for my study, it's from him. I don't know how to pronounce in German. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, right? I guess so. Bonhoeffer was a prisoner in the Second World War. He was kept in the prison, and then he eventually got executed. One of his books called Dietrich Bonhoeffer, Discipleship. This is work number 4. And I want to especially want to bring you the attention. One of his sentences says the following: human beings should not be feared. They cannot do much to the disciples of Jesus. Their power stops with the disciples' physical death. The disciples are to overcome fear of death with fear of God. Disciples are in danger, not from human judgment, but from the decay of their bodies, but from the eternal decay of their bodies and soul. For those who are in the church long enough, you know exactly what he's saying. Our body is in a decay process, slowly, day by day, one by one. And eventually, I'll be older, I may be crippled, I may be on wheelchair, and eventually I'll die. That's basically every one of us will be going through. But we are not afraid of human torture. Even a lot of Christians face, just like him, executions. He still confesses. He is the follower of Jesus, no matter what happened to him, no matter what happened to his life, no matter what happened to his family. You know, my wife, Wendy, was in a perspective course. I know Marilyn was in here, and she just did her final exam, and I don't know the result, but she shared something with me. Each time, there will be a missionary to share about his or her story. And one of them were going to Japan. It was a Catholic. Back then, it was like a long time ago, when Japan was imperialism. Like, they were ruled by armies, soldiers. Okay? So these two missionaries went abroad to Japan and tried to set up a church, but eventually they torture all those members of church, hang them up upside down. They use a... Okay, the following thing that I describe could be horrific or some sort of violence, so zero discretion, okay? So they hang up people and they poke them here or there at the face, and the blood start dripping slowly until they die. To tell the missionary, you better stop your business of setting up a church, or more people will be killed. I ask you the question, if you were the missionary, what would you feel? What would you do? They eventually, for the sake of saving all these people, even though they were told to stamp or to storm on the Jesus. You know Catholic, they have Jesus on the cross, right? They were told to storm, meaning they have to deny as a Christian, because there are so many people being tortured, and these missionaries do not want to see them suffer. So even though they did it this physically, in their heart, they know Jesus talking to them, it's okay. You are still considered Christians. Like, can you imagine? A lot of missionaries gave up their lives just to set up a churches so that now we and you can enjoy. If you look at the history of Christianity, then you know how many bloods were shed. If you want to go back even further, the early disciples were either executed, most of them were executed, except John. Second commandment, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, and trust to faithful men who will be able to teach. I want to show you a little picture. What does that mean? So you know the Bible, it's from God, right? God inspired, you know, the Holy Spirit inspired people, writers, to write up the Bible. So Paul is one of them. And then Paul would tell Timothy. Timothy would then be faithful men to teach others. And all these faithful men, like early church fathers and so forth, and scholars, theologians, and then right up, and then now, and me and you. At one point, we were not accepted Christ, right? But now we are. So do the baton stop on us? What are we going to do with the baton now that we have it? Are we going to pass it on to someone else, or just holding on? Hey, I have that. I want to fast forward to, I don't want to do that. This one. So I was praying to God during pandemic. There was no senior pastor back then. It was the December 2020. I was, the pastors were without a leader. And then one of the elders would come to help us through transition this period. And I don't know when Pastor Stan will come. There was no Pastor Stan back then. And I prayed to God, what should I do? I was kind of helpless. There was no mentor, no coach for me. I was by myself. There were some other pastors too. You know what happened back then, right? So then I kind of explore, I need some sort of education to help me through how to be a good leader. And then I came across many seminaries, like Tyndale, Regent College in Vancouver. And then I come across this Fuller Theological Seminary in L.A. And then I explored the program, and it come to me, Leading for Healthy Church Growth. Let me go deeper into what is it all about. So it's a three-year program. And the first year is missional discipleship. Second year is transformational leadership. And the third year is fruitful ministries. I had to say, many of the church we used to do is ministry over ministry and over ministries. And then they struggle to find people to serve. And now I know the reason why. Did you know that I purposely reorder? Year one is at the bottom. Year one is not on the top. It's because missional discipleship is the core or the foundation of a ministry. A ministry without disciple is not a ministry. And we have a tough time to find leaders. Why? Because either people are not willing to, or they don't have experience, or they don't even know what God wants them to do, and they were not trained to do so. Discipleship is like a follower of Christ. You need some sort of time relationship with God in order to know who we call discernment, this word, to know what God wants you to do. So like reading the Bible, you pray, you come to worship, you do this in order to get the sense of what God wants you to do as a Christian, as a follower of Christ. Now that you have a mission or direction, some people will have the spiritual gift to become a leader because now you have accumulated enough experience to serve. Not everybody can be called as a leader. But I'm sure many of you, I can see that. You have been serving as a worship leader, as a fellowship chairs. Many of you were in church for a long time at youth ministries. I see a lot of leaders in here. Or maybe TC. So once you have that disciples, a group of people who are consistently following Christ, then you have out of 10, maybe 10, 1 out of 10, maybe 2 of 10 will be considered leaders. But not just leader. I tell you what to do. You follow me. It's transformational leadership. Meaning their heart was changed. By what? By the word of God. They need to consistently evaluate their leadership in order to successfully lead the people who are following them. It's not a boss, right? It's not a manager or VP in a corporate world, in a secular world. So those leaders are following the Christ and they are humble. Once you have those two criteria or ingredients, then your ministry will be fruitful and grow, just like a tree, bear fruits. Time is running out, but I want to continue to show you what is the picture. The picture of Revelation 7 that talks about here. John said, "And after this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and people and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" Can you visualize that picture up in the New Jerusalem, in the heaven, where a lot of people, they can't even count how many number of people from all languages, from all tribes, from all nations are worshiping God and the Lamb together? That's the ultimate goal, right? Now down here, Matthew 28, you all know that. You can even recite it. "All the authority has been given to me," Jesus said. "And go make disciples, and baptize them, and teach them," and all this. So in order to get from Matthew 28 to Revelation 7, that's a journey. And as you can see from the diagram, there are early churches. All these disciples were the Holy Spirit. We talk about Pentecostal, right? When the Holy Spirit comes, these people were speaking in tongues and languages, and many people believe, and then they spread out. Paul had three missions, trips to Europe, and established churches. And now we have churches today, parachurches, in Canada, in Asia, in Africa. But there are still people we call unreached people who haven't heard about a single word from the Bible. So are we there yet? No. What is the purpose of NTCAC? Pastor Stan, we're going to cast and share with you the vision 2 weeks from today. I'm going to hold on to that. But first, what are the principles that we have learned today? The principle that we have learned today is there's two of them. Serving Christ requires a great deal of effort, endurance, and total commitment. What is your commitment to church, to this church, if you want to call this your home? Other people as your brothers and sisters. If we do not have a purpose, then might as well go somewhere else. Purpose. Once you have a purpose, then you have a commitment to achieve that purpose. You have a desire, you know? And then the teachings we have learned are to be passed on to other people. I better hurry. Life applications. This is the Canadian men team. They won the bronze medal. However, they were upgraded to silver. Why? Remember what the Bible said? As an athlete, you have to observe the rule. Otherwise, you'll be disqualified. Who won the silver? Remember? The UK, the British. Now it's the Platinum Jubilee. I know, the Queen. But they were tested positive on doping. after they won the silver. You know, the athlete got tested on the thing number one, right? To see if they have drugs. And they did. Canada didn't take, they observed the rule. So they were upgraded. These guys get their rewards already. But we, as a follower of Christ and disciples, here's what Paul said, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of an upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I told people who were knocking on the door yesterday, you may get rejection. People say, nah, no thank you, shut the door. I said, it's okay. You know what? The time that you come out to the community, the price, you already earn a price up there, which we cannot see, cannot touch, but will be rewarded to you in later. So let us pray. Father, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time, for such a short lesson today. We know that we all have a mission to go. This church, it's for you 32 years ago. It was established at this place, at this time, for a purpose, is to share the gospel to the community. Father, we know that there are lots of houses being built within 2 kilometers in our neighborhood. And may you give us courage and strength and the ability to share and talk about and build relationship with our neighbors. Because one of your command is love your neighbor as yourself. We will love to continue to observe your commands. Keep it in our mind. We may not write it on our doorpost, but we will remember your command until we will see you in heaven one time. We pray this in the name of our Jesus, Lord, Savior. Amen.